You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, at least you've got your health. We've heard people say that. At least you've got your health, though. You're fine. You're good. But what does it really mean to be healthy in 2015? What does it mean to be truly and honestly healthy? And I think that's interesting because when we think about what healthy means, we have to take into consideration certain aspects of what I think healthy is. Because I think there's a difference between what we kind of denote as healthy and what truly health means. And, you know, Bill, you and I were talking about this just a little bit before we started the show, and it's the concept of what healthy means, and especially what does healthy mean in 2015? Health means so many different things, and throughout the ages means and denotes so many things, but I think now it's more crucial than ever.
It absolutely is, because, you know, I read, because I was actually into weightlifting fairly seriously about 7 or 8 years ago. I read Arnold Schwarzenegger's book back when he was an active bodybuilder, and he made the point that the problem is in this post-industrial society, very few of us, relatively speaking, work with our bodies. You know, when human beings were evolving, you know, you did everything with your body. You had to use your body just for basic survival. Okay. Later on, you use your body for farming or for factory work or stuff like that. So you had to be in shape, you know, to do that. You just did it as a matter of course. Nowadays, I mean, most of us sit behind a desk, you know, behind a computer, behind a tablet or whatever. And we're so dependent on our car, almost codependent on our cars, that we just don't get enough exercise during the day. And so being healthy, you know, is a real struggle for a lot of people. I know for me personally, I'm about 25 pounds overweight.
And you would like to be more healthier.
Yes, I would definitely like to be healthier.
And I think everybody out there listening, I mean, I feel pretty healthy, but there's a few things in my life that I am, there's actually one thing that I'm actually toying about giving up, and it's actually, I don't drink that much, honestly, but I might have a couple of drinks a night.
Sure.
And I'm actually starting to think about giving that up altogether.
Alcohol totally?
Yeah. And I just, it's not, I like it sometimes, but for the most part, it doesn't do anything for me.
Well, you discovered a while back you actually have an allergy to beer, correct?
Yes. I have an allergy to barley and certain hops.
Okay.
I can have like one sip, like tiny sip of beer. My ears get red. My face gets blotchy. My throat gets scratchy.
Yeah.
I just get irritable. And it's like, that's like one sip. And I'm just like, man, this is ridiculous. I mean, because everybody, you know, when you think about it, you know, on a hot day, a cold beer and a cold mug just seems like the appropriate thing.
Sure, yeah.
Well, apparently I'm not supposed to drink it. And so it's interesting. I just haven't felt like drinking. You know, it's like a lot of times people, you know, you have like a lot of these social interactions and engagements surrounded by drinking. And lately when I have to do that, it's like I have to really regulate how much I drink, because when you go out to places, a lot of times if you're drinking a mixed drink, they pour it a lot heavier than what you would pour it at home.
Right. And, you know, Western society is built around interacting around alcohol.
True.
And actually, Americans don't drink as much as, you know, say Europeans do, you know, for example. So you go, like you said, you go out to social gatherings, parties, whatnot, and somebody shoves a champagne glass in your hand, you know, without even asking you, for example. And there's just this pressure to drink that, you know, if it's like, you know, people who don't drink or who choose not to drink, you almost look at them like they're abnormal.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like last night I was actually, out with a friend of mine. I actually met them out. We were just connecting and you know, rejoining. We hadn't seen each other in a few weeks and just discussing, you know, what's been going on and what they've been working on. And at first I almost didn't order a drink. I almost went with water. But for a second, I kind of felt weird about it. I was like,
because you're out and about.
Yeah, and they're having a drink. And I know how it is, too. You know, sometimes when you want to have a drink and the other person's like, no, I'm not going to drink. You kind of feel a little out of place. So I got a drink, but I didn't feel like drinking it. It didn't make me feel that good, you know? I felt like I could be doing something else more with my time as well. Like, I feel like I'm kind of like wasting it.
Yeah, we could sit here and say that, okay, you're a grown adult, and if you don't have to drink, then you shouldn't.
True.
But we all know it's just not that easy.
That's so true. We all know. And the interesting thing about being healthy, too, is it's not all about drinking. It's not all about cigarettes. I mean, that's one thing I gave up is I definitely gave up cigarettes. And I gave up cigarettes, has it been 3 years? It was 3 years and 3 months.
Yeah. I think just soon after I met you.
And it's been a while. And I gave it up. I woke up one day. I was actually out in L.A. And I woke up and I had gotten to that point that last 3 weeks out in L.A., I really got to that point where I was smoking. I would wake up, you know, take a shower, get ready. And about 8 o'clock where I was in the morning where I needed to be at, about 8:15 when there was like a little short break, I was out smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, and I wasn't a morning smoker. Let me get this straight. You kind of build up to be a morning smoker.
Right, okay? Right.
So a lot of us start as convenience. I'm having a drink. I'm having a second drink. Maybe I've had too much to drink, and I get a cigarette from somebody, and that's how a lot of people start smoking.
Right.
And so you start smoking around the social events of being out at night, being out at a bar, being out with friends. But when you start going, I think the timeline starts going where all of a sudden you've been smoking for so long, and now you start smoking in the mornings. That was a wake-up call for me, because I was like, wait a second, it's 8:15. We're taking a short break from the – I was in a class – and I'm out there smoking a cigarette.
Well, and you know, that's another good example, because our society up until just recently glorified smoking. It was cool to do. It was the thing to do, you know, is have a cigarette in one hand and a drink in the other. In fact, you know, movies and TV to a certain extent still do glorify smoking. And, you know, people can't help but be influenced by that, you know, the social peer pressure.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it used to be very cool. But then when I started figuring out, like, the last 2 months before I quit, when I wasn't around other people that were smoking, I felt odd. And when you'd have to go outside, like, at a building, like at one of the stations or something like that, I felt like I was looking in a corner. Like, I didn't want to look outside toward people.
Right.
I wanted to turn away and look, like, to the floor, to the ground. And I was like, what kind of crap is this? I mean, what am I doing? I mean, I'm out here away from other civilization, smoking a cigarette by myself, too much, and I feel too weird about it to look out and look at actual people as they walk by, that I'm going to turn inward and stare at a building wall and smoke.
Almost the walk of shame, isn't it? You're like, oh my God, can't let people catch me. It's almost like, you know, it's only acceptable to smoke now in your home under the covers with the lights out.
True.
You
got to be careful because you can start a fire.
I was going to say, and you expect to hear the knock on the door. Not knock. You know, we know you got the cigarettes in there. Come on out with your hands up.
Well, yeah. Like I have friends that, you know, they rent their units and they cannot smoke in their place. Like, and when the super or anybody comes in and they find it, they fine them.
Yeah.
Because it stinks. It really stinks.
It does. You know,
it smells.
When, you know, people who are those of us who are non-smokers, I never did smoke. But I've known people who do smoke and give it up. And that's the first thing they say. It's just like, my God, this smells terrible. It's like, well, yeah, it does. But here's the thing though, Ashley, you know, our culture still hasn't given it up because now the end thing is vaping. Right? Because, that's different because, you know, there's, you know, you don't have that secondhand smoke issue. And now you're seeing all these, you know, kids and, you know, the yuppies and whatever, you know, and they got the, you know, metal thing with the little, you know, capsule in it, and they just think they look so cool, you know.
I just think it's crazy when you got the person with the pack of cigarettes and the vape.
And the vape, yeah. See, well, my mom does that because she's trying to quit smoking, so she's trying to replace it.
You know, yeah, but you got to give one up, though. I mean, you know, you can't have both. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see people out there at several of the stations that we work with, and they'll be out there, and you'll see the person with the vape in one hand and the pack of cigarettes in the other, and you're just like, what are you doing over there?
Right.
I mean, like, when I quit smoking, I woke up one day, and I quit. And I woke up, and the reason why I woke up is because it had changed from being something that was kind of fun. And I think that's what a vice is about, is it begins with something fun. All vices start out with being something fun to do. This is fun. I like to drink. This is fun. I like to smoke.
And again,
this is fun.
It's a way to fit in.
Well, it's a way to fit in, and it's a way to have more fun. Yeah. And yeah, if your friends are all doing it, that's great too.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of times it's just like, wow, I'm bored. I'm going to, you know, hey, this is cool. And it starts off one way. And then that 2 weeks that it that takes to create a negative habit. Okay, so it takes 2 weeks to create a habit that's not good for you. It takes a month to build a habit that is good for you. And so that 2 weeks of habit forming and habit making, I mean, you're just having a blast. You're having a good time. Things are good. It's a new thing, especially with smoking. You know, you get to go buy the cigarettes,
right.
And you're like,
right.
I'm going to get some Parliaments. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, you get your
some
fancy pack. I love the Parliaments. My last cigarettes I smoked was Parliaments, and then I moved to Parliament Ultralights. But I would still, depending on if they didn't have the Ultralights, I'd go with the Parliament Regulars. And I like that particular cigarette. But anyway, I don't smoke anymore. But I realize that eventually after those two weeks, you're it's no longer that fun. And then when you fast forward to years of doing something, just
right.
years and years and years, it's overwhelming because it's not fun anymore. Not only is it not fun, it's lost its luster a long time ago. Now it's like you're going through the motions. And when you go through the motions when you're smoking, or you're going through the motions when you're drinking, not only do you go through the motions, but you start doing more. It goes up. The number goes up. The number of cigarettes goes up. The number of drinks goes up. The number of cigarettes that it took for you to feel a buzz, the number of drinks it took for you to have a buzz goes up. And you actually change in that situation where it's no longer that fun. It actually becomes a job.
Yeah, and I think you just hit on the key thing there. See, here's the problem with alcohol or cigarettes or drugs or food, you know, sugar, you know, anything else that might be unhealthy for you. The problem is you never get that same high again, like when you get that first high. Like, do you remember when you got your first nicotine high? You know, you took the puff on it, and it was like, whew, you know.
Kind of made me sick, actually.
And, well, did it for you. Well, I've heard people describe that nicotine high, and that's what they crave.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the first time I did it made me green just because it was too much nicotine.
Right.
But I went back for more.
Yeah, that was a smart thing to do. See, you know, most people don't get that same high, okay? So, because your body builds up a tolerance to it. And so, therefore, you know, this is the way our minds work. If some is good, then more must be better. So, you do more and more and more to try to get that same high. And, you know, it's just kind of a, you know, spiral.
And also, a lot of times we do it because we're bored. It's out of boredom as well. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about giving up those vices, whatever they are, understanding your vice, and getting over it and figure out what's best for you to be healthier and happier in 2015. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking about what it means to be healthy. What does it mean to be healthy in 2015? You know, in relative terms, being healthy in 2015 is much of the same as it's been in the last few years, but there's a little bit of a change because it's even more important now to have certain health benefits. You know, a lot of times we didn't think about in the past about giving up certain vices. We didn't really know all the bad things about smoking. I mean, in the last 20 years, we've started to figure that out. But even sugar, even food. A lot of things we didn't know until recently of things that could actually be harmful, if not deadly to us. And, you know, I was talking earlier before the break about smoking, and I gave up cigarette smoking about 3.5 years ago, and I gave it up because it wasn't fun anymore. It became a job, and it wasn't a fun job. It became a job that I had to do, and the funny thing is I never smoked in my car. Okay, I never smoked in my car. And I didn't smoke in my house. And I made these rules because I didn't want my house to stink.
Right.
And I'm not the only one that lives in my house. So out of respect for other people, I chose to be respectful. Also, on the car thing, I'm a big believer in not smoking in your car. And, you know, the whole resale value and all that stuff just goes down the crapper if you're going to do that in your car.
Right.
So you got to literally sit there and say, what do I want to do? So I would literally drive to a meeting or to a lunch, and I would go out to a field or wherever I was and smoke. And that was funny because when I did quit smoking, the one thing that got me a little bit, I was literally like, man, I was driving in the car and realizing that I needed a cigarette and that I would normally pull over. And it was funny because I had friends that would always go out to, I have about 2 days a week that I was able to do a really short lunch. And I have some friends that would go out with me to that lunch. And I used to always, at the end of lunch, we would all walk out and we would stand outside the restaurant and I would commence to have my cigarette.
Yep.
While everybody else just talked and laughed.
Yeah, they were socializing, whatever, and you were sitting there going...
Oh, yeah, because they knew it was time for Ashley to have a cigarette. And everybody, I'd programmed everybody so well that it's Ashley's time for a cigarette that everybody looked forward to the Ashley cigarette
like,
time.
Like, look on your watch. Oh, it's such time, Ashley cigarette.
Oh, people be like, okay, like we everybody, you know, pay the bill, pay the tab for lunch. And we'd all walk outside and stand over in the corner, and I'm the only one smoking, but everybody liked it because they still had stuff to talk about. A lot of times people would like leave out their really juicy stories till then because we were in a crowded restaurant.
Yeah.
And so people would wait it out and be like, oh, well, when we go outside, I got to tell you about what happened last weekend.
Right.
And everybody would be like, oh, yeah, we're going to find out what happened, you know? And so it was always the juicy conversations. And so when I got back, you know, from being out of town, I was actually out in L.A. at that point in time. I got back, and guess what? All of a sudden, we all go to lunch, that same group. And I remember a couple of people saying, okay, yeah, I got some stuff to tell you, but we'll talk about it when we get outside.
Okay, gotcha.
So we get outside, and next thing you know, everybody looks at me. And I'm like, well, what are you looking at? And they're like,
aren't you going to smoke?
Where are your cigarettes at? Did you leave them in the car? And I was like, I quit smoking. And they're like, oh.
Like you just ruined the whole dynamic.
I did. I created this problem where everybody looked at each other crazy-like, and they were like,
it's like, what are we going to do now?
What are we going to do now? And I'm like, well, it's kind of cold outside, and I don't really want to stand here, really.
Can we go back inside?
Yeah, everybody was laughing. They're like, oh, my God. And it was funny because all of a sudden I had to retrain these people into let's talk about the full story in the restaurant. Isn't that funny?
That's hilarious.
Because you can get people because all of a sudden they started thinking, what's the best way I can use the time of Ashley smoking? And so it became like this funny time where people would sit there and say, well, I'll leave the juiciest for that part, you know? But it all changed, and so I had to get over that, too, and so did other people that were relying on my addiction to get to do this.
Right.
But the good thing was is that, you know, when I did get back in town, my car didn't smoke, my house didn't smell. My house didn't smell, my car didn't smell. And that was what really helped out. But the reason why I identified that as a vice is that I think vices are things that we do sometimes more out of boredom, because the cigarette thing became even a boredom thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, like I would take several breaks a day to go outside and smoke. You know, like you'd be working on something and you'd be like, man, my mind's just not working right. You know what I mean? I got that brain fog. Yeah, I need to go get a cigarette. And I started using it as a crutch to think better.
Right. You know, a lot of smokers, but that, you know, my mother, who has smoked since she was 16 years old, and she's, you know, into her 60s now. And just can't seem to just kick the habit. But that's you know, one of the main things for her. It's out of boredom, you know, because, you know, she has to have that cigarette in her hand, you know, and to have it in her mouth. Otherwise, you know, it's like, you know, she's jonesing, you know, so like, gotta have a fix.
I know. And smokers that are jonesing can stress you out.
Oh, because they will get irritable. Yes.
Well, they're also always looking for the pack. Or if they don't have a pack and you're trying to talk about something that has a point or has merit, if you want to talk about that thing that has merit or some point, you need to be driving their butt to the grocery store or to the gas station to get cigarettes if you want them to listen to you. Because if they have no cigarettes around and you're trying to tell them something that's important to you, they're going to be freaking out. You
Absolutely.
Need to follow them outside, follow
Absolutely.
Them to the car, figure out where the pack is, and decide where the conversation is. And it got to that point, and it was interesting, those last few weeks of smoking, I was surrounded by a bunch of smokers.
Right.
It was great.
Of course you would be.
It was great. You know, it was great. I had people that would smoke with me in the morning, people that would smoke the same cigarettes as me. I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, so you could pair notes.
Oh, we were just like, it was like awesome because I hadn't had that in a long time. And it was interesting because you had all the conditions were right. You know, the conditions were great. And it was interesting, though, when I realized that I just wasn't really happy with it. And I had known that I hadn't been happy with it for a long time. And I had known that it wasn't helping me health-wise. Like, it wasn't making me healthy. It certainly wasn't being healthy. It certainly wasn't helping me at all. It was actually hurting me. And there are things on the side note that smoking really can really damage. For example, when you have surgeries, anybody out there that's having a surgery, you know that your doctor has told you straight up ahead of time, mm-hmm. you need to quit smoking 2 weeks before the surgery.
Yep.
Okay, now why is that? You know why that is? Is because you're healing, the process to heal, the process for the body to heal itself is impaired when you smoke. And the reason for that is the carcinogens and everything that goes into a cigarette actually just stops the process of healing because it's the opposite of healing, okay? So I think it's interesting how when people have a surgery, they don't ever quit 2 weeks ahead of time. Though,
no, of course not.
And they quit like the day ahead of time. But it's funny how they'll wait 5 or 6 days and they've been 5 or 6 days clean and they'll start smoking again.
My mother was like that. She went in to have surgery. I think after she had her hysterectomy, she had complications and had to go back in, you know, for more surgery. And, when she came out of the anesthesia, the first question, not that she, could she go to the bathroom, not that, you know, could she get something to eat or, you know, could she walk around? Can I have a cigarette? That was the first question.
Wow.
When she came out of the anesthesia. And I'm sitting there, I was by her bedside, and I didn't say anything, but I made eye contact with the nurse. I went, no, you know, yeah. Tell her no. So.
Well, yeah, and the scary thing is that a lot of times we have complications based on our smoking and our alcohol. And, you know, I actually know of two friends of mine that actually had spinal replacement surgery, and they smoked before the surgery and days after the surgery, and their bones didn't fuse right.
Right.
Okay, and you know why that was? They were smoking.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how we do a lot of this damage to ourselves. And I realized how much I was damaging myself by smoking. And it was interesting, the 2 days before I quit, my throat was hurting, I wasn't feeling that good. And I was basically preparing myself that this is the time to quit. If there's a time to quit, it's when you're not feeling good. Because, you know, anybody out there listening tonight knows that when you aren't feeling good, what are the first things you don't want first? You don't want cigarettes, and you don't want alcohol.
So you think that would, you get a clue.
Well, that's true. I wasn't even thinking about that. You think that would give you the clue, the heads up. You know, maybe these aren't the best things for me, you know? You know what wine tastes like when you have a sinus infection? Yuck. You know, I mean, it's grossed out. You're over there, like, trying to drink it, and it tastes like linoleum or something. You're like, what the heck am I trying to swallow? Yeah. You know, it's awful. It's absolutely disgusting.
But here's the problem, Ashley. You know who Dennis Leary is?
Yeah.
Okay, he's a comedian, one of my favorite comedians. And he hit it right on the button. Smokers already know it's bad for you and have always known that it's bad for you, okay? So, you know, you could have the entire pack as the warning label. You know, in fact, you could have the pack with a skull and crossbones on it.
It's an immediate death.
Okay? And call it tumors, okay? And people will be lined up around the block, you know? I mean, I heard you can get cancer just by, you know, lighting up on this thing. You know, I mean,
tumors light and tumors ultra,
yeah.
Tumors.
You know, I mean, smokers already know it's bad for you, and yet they do it anyway.
You know, it was interesting that I quit smoking one time before, and I quit smoking for 7 years. And you know what was the thing that got me to quit smoking?
What's that?
It wasn't the tumors. It wasn't any of that. My husband, we were at Home Depot, and we were driving in a Home Depot, and there was a lady that was walking across the parking lot to go in.
Okay.
And she had a cigarette in her hand.
All right.
And he goes, "You're going to look like that if you continue to smoke." And I looked at this woman, and I looked at her face, and her face was so scraggly and craggly.
The typical smoker's face,
wrinkles,
yes.
Wrinkles, and the wrinkles that come up the mouth and the lips, right, and the area and all over. And he goes, "You're going to look like that." And I went, "Oh my God." And you know what? I took it to heart.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times we sit there and think, "Oh, it's not going to happen to me. I mean, she just must have bad genetics or whatever." But you know what? It happens to everybody. I mean, there might be a little slim difference. Like, you might not look as bad. Okay. But it's going to happen. And so whatever it is that will make you quit is what's important. For me, it was my looks at the time. You know, for 7 years, I went without smoking. But guess what? After 7 years, ran into some old friends, ran into the old gang, started hanging out. And guess what? The least of the worst evil was to smoke legal cigarettes. Okay, they were doing their thing, and they smoked cigarettes too. And I was like,
among other things.
And so I had one, and I was like, let's, you know. And I remember after I had that first one, I got so green. I felt so bad.
And you would think you would have gotten a clue.
You would think.
But no.
I drove my happy butt to Whole Foods to find some sort of nausea remedy, some sort of nausea elixir, and that didn't work. So stay tuned. When we return, we're talking more about giving up those vices, trying to honestly figure out what vices you have and how to let them go. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking about what it means to be healthy in 2015, what it means to figure out honestly what our vices are, and how to begin to at least know them and let them go, and how to better ourselves. You know, right before the break, I was talking about when I gave up smoking, and then now when I started smoking again. So I quit for 7 years. And then I got around the old gang, and everybody listening tonight knows that there's certain people that just seem to push their buttons and get them to do things they probably wouldn't otherwise do. And I remember my first cigarette I had, again, I got green. I ended up at the Whole Foods looking for a nausea remedy. I got a bunch of ginger and a bunch of this and that.
It was getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot.
It was getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot. Yeah. I love that. With the little shopping carts they got. Yeah, and there I was, and I got this ginger, like cough syrup, like the syrup that is supposed to help you with your nausea. It was in the nausea and pregnancy area. So I figured that's a good place to start. And I got some candy ginger and a couple other things. And anyway. And so there I am out in the car eating and taking all this stuff. And the next day I go back and smoke a cigarette.
And did it all over again.
And it wasn't so nauseating this time. And all of a sudden I got that rush, that nicotine rush. So I started smoking again. And days went by and weeks went by and months went by. And all of a sudden there I am smoking for a year. But I smoked at certain times of the day, right? And I felt okay about that because I was limiting it, you know? I mean, like, I only smoked after 5 p.m., so I felt okay, okay? Like, I felt like that's okay. It's like I didn't eat meat or pork or chicken, okay? I smoked, so I felt like that offset that, you know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, by the way. Live like that.
You were just justifying it.
Gosh!
I mean, just like an addict does. I mean, you know, regardless of what their drug of choice is, you were justifying it.
Like monks make brandy, can't be that bad,
right?
You know, monks make brandy. I mean, brandy can't be that bad to drink.
Sure,
I mean, it doesn't make any sense why it'd be bad. I mean, you're over there just a green. So, and it's funny. I always think it's funny when you got the smokers over there that they're like, well, these are certain good holistic cigarettes, you know?
Well, you know? And you know what? And a lot of people are using the same justifications for vaping. And just remember that vapor still has nicotine in it.
Yeah. And I don't know. So. I mean, I think nicotine on its own by itself is probably a lot better than smoking it. But again, What's in that product?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I want to know.
It's still so new that they haven't had time to figure out. You know, I mean, it can't be good to inhale vapor or smoke into your lungs.
You're still inhaling.
Yeah, you know,
it's still there. I mean, you know, it's like the old argument with pot. You know, when they started, you know, using vaporizers and doing that stuff. And,
yeah, the bong.
Oh yeah, and you got the whole and then the vaporizers. You know, where you push a button or you know it has like a machine where you put it in there.
Oh sure, yeah.
And so you. But at the same point in time, it's still trying to make you feel better about doing something that maybe it's not really benefiting you. And you know, and when I quit, I actually I quit. And it was hard because I was still out of town. I was coming back in town, and that very next morning, I was to be on the news, and I had to be there at 4 a.m. in the morning. Now everybody listening knows that I'm not really a morning person.
You are not a morning person.
That's why we're on at nights, guys. That's why we're doing the night thing right now. Now, if I have to do mornings, I'll do mornings. But oh Lord, have mercy, God, I hate to see that. But yeah, if I do it, I can probably do it pretty well. But I'll be going to bed a lot earlier than I ever have been. But I'm an evening person. I'm a late morning person. I mean, I prefer to get up at 8 instead of 3. Okay, that's just one of my deals. So anyway, I had to get on the show. So I flew in. I got in late about midnight. Had to go to bed. Had to be up by 3:45. I mean, come on. That's, and I had a time change of a couple hours. And so I get there to the station, and my makeup artist is there. And right. It's also 22 degrees outside, by the way.
Oh, no.
It's freezing cold. And so we go into the green room, and she's got the, you know, the makeup and all that stuff, and I can smell cigarettes on her. And she's like, I know you quit yesterday. I tried, but yeah, it's 4 a.m. in the morning, and I needed to
can
wake
I
me up.
Can I have a cigarette?
You know, and it's really bad because it's cold, and so it sticks.
Like you were
to
a junkie,
clothes.
You know, it's like, fix me. You got to fix me, man.
Oh, yeah, she had to go out there in the middle of this blizzard thing to smoke another cigarette. And she goes, I'm so sorry. I mean, I know you can smell it, you know, but I got to get your makeup right, you know. So I started stressing out because I'm thinking, I can't think straight. I can't think. Oh, my God. I need a cigarette. Oh, my God. And I was just like, oh, my God. And in my head, I'm just like freaking out. I'm like, in my head, I'm screaming just like I'm doing right now. I'm going, oh, God, think. Oh, God, think. What am I supposed to talk about? What am I supposed to talk about? What am I supposed to? Oh, think, Ashley. Think. And I'm freaking out. And she comes back in from smoking her cigarette. She's over there being apologetic. And at the same, I'm not even hearing a word she's saying. I have no idea because I'm right over there freaking out about what I'm supposed to say on TV because I've gone blank. I don't have any thoughts in my head right now. And so I run in there and grab a coffee, which I never had coffee before. By the way, don't get coffee before you go on national TV if you're not a coffee drinker. Just by FYI, don't do it. It's like taking a thing of speed right before you go on TV, and you're like,
hey. You're talking like this. You know, you became a raving lunatic on that, even more than you already are.
A raving lunatic. Ashley Burgess, a.k.a. Raving Lunatic. So, yeah. So, anyway, I was in the makeup room. So, after that, I get into the green room with the broadcaster and you know, the head honcho and the producer and everybody. And he looks at me and he goes, by the way, we were going to talk about this. Let's scratch all that. I want to scratch all that. And I really want to just talk about this. And I'm like, and normally I'm very, I mean, you know me. I mean,
yeah,
you
roll with it. Yeah.
I roll. I'm versatile.
Yes.
You know? And all of a sudden I didn't feel that versatile.
Or you're flexible, but that's another discussion.
Flexible and versatile. I didn't feel either the morning of this morning. Okay. I felt awful. I felt like there's no way I could think. So thank God my intelligence levels snapped into place. Okay. That thank God that happened. I only have 4 or 5 sips of that coffee because I knew that was going to mess me up. That was going to do a Jedi mind trick on me that I was not prepared for. So I realized, yeah, you know, forego the coffee, just listen to what the man has to say, and then get on live and do what you got to do. It's 5:15 in the morning, but you can suck it up and figure it out. But I remember how hard that was. And so for everybody listening tonight that understands where I was when my mind seemed to not be working, it was overwhelming. And so that next day is when I knew that I needed to have a backup. Okay, like I know that in life, you got to have a backup.
Right.
You can't just go willy-nilly into a situation.
Cold turkey,
It's you're putting yourself in a bad position.
Right.
Okay, you're putting yourself in a position to fail. And why would you want to set yourself up for failure? So this is what I did, and this is what I did the last time I quit smoking, and this is what I did the next time I quit smoking. So what I did is there was a thing that I can get. It's a prescription, and I think it's called Nicotrol, and Nicahale or Nicotrol, and basically
sounds familiar.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And basically what it is, there are little cartridges, and it's just air. There's cartridges, and there's like a little like gauze thing in the center,
uh-huh,
and it goes into like a little plastic like kind of mock cigarette thing.
Okay,
it's a little plastic holder, and it breaks the seals on both sides when you twist it, and when you suck it in, there's no vapor. There's no smoke. It's just an actual nicotine. It's like a soaked thing in there that's been soaked with actual natural nicotine. It's from Sweden that gives you that nicotine.
It's from Sweden, so it makes it okay.
It's got to be okay.
Yeah.
But I started using that, and so it helped because it curbed the cravings when I needed it. But I didn't use it all the time. Now, let me stress this. You have to allow the body. You have to push the body enough to know that you can actually get over something. It's good to have a backup plan in those times when all you can think about is having a cigarette. But if you're not thinking about it like 24/7, you need to let it go. Let that sidebar be there and know that you have a backup plan. The other thing that I always did, and I know that this sounds antithetical to most people, but I think it works, and this is something that I stress. Don't throw away all the packs of cigarettes. Don't throw all the packs of cigarettes out. Don't throw all your lighters out. Don't just sit there. You know, we've all done that before. I've done that with sugar. Okay, because I've found out that I can't eat a lot of sugar, and any time that Greg gets me those little peeps or those candy corns, you know, now they have candy corns for every holiday, by the way.
Right, right.
I mean, that got ridiculous.
Color differently, yep.
They had Easter ones, Christmas ones, all of them, right?
Halloween ones.
Halloween
yeah.
ones, that's where they started, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, I can't eat those, by the way. I found out that those actually give me, I get a rash. Okay, like, I get the
Because those things are pure, refined processed sugar.
Yeah, I get blotchy.
Yeah.
First off, I mean, I look like one of the Kennedys after they drink too much.
That's hilarious. Now, that is a visual. I'm trying to visual that in my mind, you know, as Ashley Burgess, you know, the... You know, pot to cod, hobbit yod, you know, go
Senator Burgess, what do you have
yeah.
to say?
That's, wow.
I look like one of the Kennedys. There I am. And the sad thing is I'm still opening the box of candy corn and still eating more. And then all of a sudden I remember looking down at my hands going, oh my God. And they're all blotchy and red looking. And I'm like, I mean, and I've thrown away whole things of candy in the trash. In an argumentative rage, you know what I mean? Because I'm so mad. But then the next day, man, you'll even dig in that trash for some of that candy. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is don't throw away the cigarette packs. What I did is I kept a cigarette pack in my purse. Being that I'm a woman, I have a purse. Many might not have the same thing. Second thing is I kept one in my car. And I kept lighters on both. And the reason why I did this is because I never wanted to feel like I didn't have them. I wanted to always know that I was in control, that I could always smoke a cigarette if I wanted to. And I had them. It wasn't like I needed to go out and get them, because I think a lot of times when we don't have something, we feel like we need it more.
Yeah, the forbidden fruit syndrome. You know,
yeah.
It's interesting. My grandfather did the same thing that you're describing. And when you started telling the story, that's what popped in my mind. He smoked like for, gosh, 70 years. And in the last couple of years of his life, he gave it up cold turkey. But he kept a pack in his freezer. He kept it in the freezer, you know,
so it would preserve.
Right. And so therefore he always knew that if the craving just became too much, he always had one. So he wouldn't just go start raving mad.
See, and it worked for him.
It did work
for
him.
And he smoked for 70 years.
And he quit one day and never smoked again. But he always had that backup.
And that's what I'm saying, is always have that backup plan. And don't make yourself feel like you don't have control, because when we don't feel like we're in control, we do crazy things when we're not in control. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to talk more about how to let these things go and how to be more healthy in 2015. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shape. I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about giving up those vices, figuring out what your vice is, and being healthy in 2015. You know, I think the interesting part is, like, we were talking about smoking, because giving up smoking, I think, is one of the hardest vices to give up. And the reason why I say it is that it becomes such a habit. And I think the same goes for food. And I found myself in that habit where you're bored or you're at home, and there you go. You go to the refrigerator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making dinner. Let's just make it dinner time.
Yep.
Making dinner. You make the dinner. You make all the vegetables or whatever you're eating. And all of a sudden you get done with your plate. You go bring it in. You go wash it off. 10 minutes later, you walk back in the kitchen, open the refrigerator, look around. Look in the cabinets, look around, see anything. And I've done that so many times where you keep going back and grazing on stuff, and that's an addiction too.
Yeah, I think I've got it too. I mean, I will snack out of boredom.
I do too all the time. I do it. And,
yeah.
and it's, if I'm at home and I'm not working on something, or especially when you're not that tired. Because when you're real tired, you kind of just go to bed.
Right, yeah.
But when you're not that tired and you probably need to be doing something else, you do that.
Right.
And back when I was smoking, I would be outside smoking a cigarette,
mm-hmm.
or two or three on a phone call. I probably didn't need to be on, talking for I don't know how long, discussing all kinds of crazy stuff. And then there I was smoking, getting my smoking fix
yeah.
on. And I think the same thing goes for drinking. I mean, there comes a time when you had enough to drink. I mean, how much is enough? And I know clients that come in here in the beginning of our treatments would say that they had to drink enough to pass out. You know,
yeah.
I need to pass out, and therefore, if I start drinking at 6 p.m., I could pass out by 2
right.
a.m. But if I don't start drinking till 11, that could put me at 5 a.m.
And so they're justifying it.
Yeah, because they need to sleep. And it's like, have you thought about a sleep med instead of using alcohol as your sleep med?
Right.
I mean, but also at the same point in time, I mean, that's one, that's abusing something big time.
Mm-hmm.
But two, that's a chore.
Yeah.
So I got to not only drink, but I got to drink because I have to do this and I have to do this and I got to go to sleep by this time. So I need to start getting raving drunk by X amount of time.
Whew. Like you're planning your day around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and actually, this is swerving in a different direction, but it's related to it. How many people with a shopping addiction get on the internet, Amazon, and, you know.
Oh, at night, too.
And whatever. And, you know, and just, you know, can't help themselves and shop.
Oh, I got friends that have that.
On the internet.
That one click
buy.
The
internet is evil when it comes to shopping addiction, I've learned.
Oh, yeah, that one click buy. Especially, I mean, I love Amazon, and I have that Amazon Prime. You get everything in less than 2 days. You get an instantaneous gratification. Yes, I like Amazon Prime. But I know a lot of people...
That's the ultra cigarette of the, you know, shopping.
It is, right? It's like the joint of shopping.
The whiskey of shopping, you know?
The joint and whiskey of shopping.
Yes.
You know, it's like there's a joint on the side of the glasses, like, you know, like the lemon or the lime, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, here you go, super duper, you know, double it up, mm-hmm. you know? And I have friends that use that single button. Oh, my God. And they're not using the single button... Like I do. Like I might use a single button to buy a book,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, right. like, you know, I have enough copies of my own book, you know, the 10-day challenge to live your true life. But yeah, I might buy the 10-day challenge to live my true life, or I might buy some other book. But I know people that buy bicycles. I know people that buy very expensive pieces of jewelry at 12 o'clock and 1 a.m. in the morning. Because what are they doing? Retail therapy, helping them overcome some sort of situation. And a lot of times, too... Like, for me, smoking was actually a crutch. So, smoking, because I don't do drugs. I don't do illegal drugs.
Right.
And because
the legal ones.
Just the legal ones. Just the ones made by all the pharmaceutical companies out there.
The ones approved by the FDA. Yes.
Well, I'm not saying that doing drugs is good or bad or indifferent. I'm not putting down anybody that does drugs. I'm not at all. So, don't think about that. There's some people that actually probably need certain things. Maybe for their health conditions, what have you, but I'm not over here touting one way or another. But what I am saying is that I don't particularly do illegal drugs. Okay. And because of that, you know, cigarettes was the closest I had. And I would get in some groups where I would go see some friends of mine that were in bands or doing whatever they were doing. And they were having a lot more fun than smoking cigarettes, okay? Uh-huh. But in order for me to be able to fit in or to feel good about being there or to keep, and mostly to stay awake, because cigarettes help me stay awake. They would help me get that extra buzz. It was almost like drinking caffeine. You know, at 2 a.m., you smoke a couple of cigarettes, and all of a sudden, you're like, you're like, okay, I'm back, you know? I can hang out with the cool group again.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, we take these vices on, you know, out of our boredom, out of a way to fit in, out of a lifestyle. Maybe we're bored with our lifestyle. Maybe this adds, like, a depth to us. But a lot of times, it's something... That's not helping us. So we got to figure out that vice, whether it's shopping, whether it's retail therapy, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's smoking, maybe it's sugar, maybe it's eating, maybe it's habit-formed eating that when you get home, you check the refrigerator 7 times a night.
How about porn?
Oof.
Now there's a subject we could do like 3 or 4 shows on.
Oh, yeah. We should touch that one.
Yeah.
I definitely want to touch that subject. Yeah, porn is a big deal, too. I mean, gosh. I mean, there's people that waste their days away looking at internet porn.
Oh.
Seriously.
The internet, I mean, it was like the worst thing possible for, you know, people who are addicted to porn anyway. The internet was the worst thing that could have come along.
Yeah, well, I mean, it keeps them at their house.
Yeah, and I guess instead of going out to adult theaters.
In their computer room, sitting there, lights
so it's,
down.
It's like, you sure seem to be spending a lot of time in your, you know, the office there, your bedroom.
For men, your right forearm is really huge.
Or some women. I mean, it's not gender specific.
You're right. It's women too.
Yeah.
It's women too. I mean, and that's the thing is to figure out your vice, because the thing is, even with that porn vice, right, if that's keeping you from living your life, which it really is, I mean, for the most part, I mean, if you can't just watch it for 5 minutes and then go, or 10 minutes to go, it's probably taken up a lot of your lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, the same thing as cigarettes. How many times I had to walk out of a building to go smoke? Think about how much time that is. Think about all the time it took for me to consistently drive up to the gas station and get the cigarettes. It was interesting. I went to that same, the same 7-Eleven. I guess it was like a year after I'd quit. Uh-huh. And they were like, man, where have you been? What's going on?
Yeah, it's like you were a significant part of their revenue, probably.
Probably. And they were like, why haven't you been around? And I go, oh. I go, because my addiction to play the lottery is less big to what my addiction was to smoke cigarettes. I quit smoking. And they were like, oh. I was like, but I will take 3 lottery tickets, cash jobs.
Now, that addiction you still have. We got to work on that.
But it's not getting in the way of my life. I mean, I might play once a week, and I play $2. I don't think that's getting in the way of my life.
Yeah, you're justifying it now. You're justifying
it. Well, you got, in order to win, you got to play. I mean, you can't, don't you like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Rehab's for quitters, you know? I mean, in order to win.
Rehab's for quitters. Yeah, there you go.
In order to win, you got to play. So that's the key. I mean, you have to think about what is it. But, you know, if it's getting in my way, if it's getting in the bottom line of financial, you know, stability, that would be a problem. But yeah, right. I agree that maybe I don't need to play every week.
Well, there you go. The gambling, you know, gambling is certainly an addiction. In fact, they have a Gamblers Anonymous, don't they?
Oh yeah, they have it on the back of all the lottery tickets.
Yeah,
just
like the warning label, just like on cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, like if you feel like you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, you know, and so you have to realize what is that vice? Is it gambling? Is it porn? Is it cigarette smoking? Is it smoking? Is it alcohol? Is it food? Is it drugs? Is it somebody maybe you're hanging out with that you don't need to be hanging out with? I mean, is it toxic relationships? That's another vice. Sometimes we like to hang out with people that really, you know, are brutal, people that are awful to us. We have to figure out what those vices are, and figure out the one or the you can't end all vices at once. Okay, that's one thing I know, is that if you have 3 vices, don't try to take them all down at one time, because that's not going to work for you. But what you can do is focus on the one thing that's really not working in your life. For me at the time, it was smoking. Smoking wasn't helping me. Smoking was hurting me. Smoking was making me ill. Smoking was probably not allowing my body to be very healthy. And it was funny because about a year and a half to 2 years after I quit smoking, I actually had people come up to me and go, man, you look so much younger.
Uh-huh.
And I go, what do you mean? And they go, have you done anything? And it was so late after I'd quit smoking. I go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I went, oh, I quit smoking 2 years ago. And they go, that's it.
Yeah, it took that long to get all those toxins out of your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. And it's like, I don't think a lot of times any of us do realize when we do have this vice, we don't realize what the vice is doing. There's a reason why we use the word vice. A vice is not a good thing.
Right.
If your head's in a vice, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Vice does not mean, you know, roses and awesome love letters and
unicorns,
koalas,
and rainbows.
You know? There's no koalas and vices, you know what
no.
I mean? No koalas, not at all, no koalas. So if you want the koala, you got to let go of the vice, and you got to figure out how to do it. And what do you have to do to have a successful let go? You got to have a backup plan. So, I mean, if it's food that you're addicted to, and every time you go home, you eat, you binge eat, you need to change out what kind of food you have at the house. Put some healthy food up there. So when you are binge eating, you're eating healthy food. And then you need to also slow the amounts. Take smaller doses of the amounts. Package the food if you need to. But you also need to have some sort of pat on the back. In any situation, when you're quitting a vice, you've got to give yourself some sort of treat. So in my situation, I had the backup of the Nicotrol inhaler, which I would use only when I felt like breaking down to have a cigarette. After 2 weeks of doing that, I don't have certain addictions,
right.
I made myself a certain meal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I like it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, or I went and got a sundae, you know, or whatever it is. Make sure it's not something you have an addiction to, but go give yourself a pat on the back.
In other words, don't go smoke a cigar just to reward yourself for quitting cigarettes, right?
Yes! Don't go out there and go vaping. Don't go out there and smoke a joint just because you quit smoking cigarettes. But yeah, figure out something that means something to you. Maybe you've been holding back from buying a sweater or a piece of clothing or something like that, and you're not a retail therapy shopaholic. You're not going to retail therapy. That's something you could pick, too. But always give yourself a treat. always have a backup to the plan, and more than not, realize that you're doing this to make yourself healthier. You're making yourself better. And that's what healthy is. In 2015, we have to eliminate everything and anything that gets in our way of health. We have to eliminate anything that's going to cause us poor health and pain. And if these things cause pain, these things cause poor health, and they cause you to not live a good, happy life. So we got more on this subject coming up, so stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.